Money Control presents the Lending Card Story, from empowering MSMEs to building a $5 trillion economy.
Hello and welcome to this very special conversation that we're having with Harshvardhan Lunia, the founder and CEO of Lending Card. Lending Card is focused on lending to SMEs as well as MSMEs. In the last 8 years of operations, they've disbursed more than 10,000 crores of loans. It's also profitable. Its net profit before tax was 32 crore in the quarter gone by, Q1 FY23. And in the last 4 years, Lending Card has also transitioned itself to focus on lending in partnership with banks, core lending. In fact, 80 to 90% of its incremental lending in the last couple of months has been via core lending. So with that introduction, let me once again warmly welcome Harshvardhan Lunia on this special conversation. Before we get into specifics about your business, the core lending and where you see it headed, your geographical expansion, tell us a little bit about your origin story and what the last 8 years have been like.
Thanks, Seema, for inviting me on this podcast. I think the journey for me started, Reema, while I was doing my last job post my MBA in London. I was always intrigued by small businesses. I come from a typical business family. I have seen my relatives and people around me raise money from each other, run businesses in a trustful manner. So small and micro units and small businesses always intrigued me. I left my London job and came back to India in 2010 and started a debt advisory platform where we could guide small businesses to become bankable. I did that for 2011, 12, and 13, and it did not scale up as I would have expected. And I have been raised in Gujarat, where there's a saying that if in Navso Navanu Divas, 99 days, you don't figure out a business and or model around it, you need to shut it down and move on. So I was nearing my 999 days, but I hadn't solved for the MSME problem. That's where I started also realizing that alternate lending was happening all across the world, US, UK. We had companies like Lending Club and OnDeck going for an IPO in US, Lufax, Liangrong, and other companies happening in China. And we kind of realized that similar models could be built in India as well overall. So that's where in 2014, we started Lending Card. Reema, we always believed that we will go after the underserved segment. We will go and serve them. Solve for them overall. And that's what we have done. All across our journey of 8 years, Reema, we focused on them and continued our focus on them.
India is a very capital-starved country. You know, the problem, Harsh, is not just you. I think a lot of people have the idea that India is a land of opportunity for fintechs. We have so many fintechs. But, you know, let's just get into the specifics, right? Some industry-first innovations that have been introduced by you and the research insights that encourage these innovations. For many startups, it's growth versus governance. Governance is often seen as an impediment to growth. What, according to you, is the role of corporate governance in a fintech, and does it have an impact on the supply side factor of funds flow?
First thing in terms of insights, Reema, when we started with working with small and micro businesses, one of the great insights that we got was, these are typically family-run businesses or proprietorship businesses overall run. So if you ask these people that do they need a business loan, they would say yes, so that they need their business loan to meet their expenses, growth and everything. But if you ask them that if they had to leave their shop or if they had to leave their manufacturing organization and go ahead and basically raise money, apply for banks, visit multiple banks and do multiple such stuff, would they be okay doing any of those things? It was difficult. So I think that's where we realized, Reema, overall across our journey, that these guys cannot come to the branch, right? The branch network and everything. And we will have to go ahead and create a digital journey for them. And that's where we created a digital onboarding and entire journey for ourselves. Secondly, Reema, when we were building this model, we also realized that there was a lot of lack of information or information asymmetry for these customers. And what we had to do was the conventional models, right, of credit would not solve for them because nobody had ever evaluated them. So we had to basically go ahead and build algo-driven models or data-driven models for solving for them. And similarly, we've also coined a term called zero-touch journey. We also realized that these customers and I think all of us have reached out to customer care, right? And we all know how pathetic that experience has been. We kind of realized that if we could go ahead and have the zero-touch journey for them. So these are the few insights we had in the industry first that we have done, Reema, across our journey. I think to your next question on corporate governance, Reema, I think that's part and parcel of every prudent business that's built, right? in our business, because we are a kind of a regulated business in terms of audit compliances, in terms of data and other security measures that we have to do overall for our customers or for data or audits and everything. It's part of our business. I think today's world, it's all hygiene to have corporate governance. And if you do it proper, overall, Rima, you can go ahead and build a great business. And that's what fundamentals we have built for our business as well.
Interesting. Harsh, I want to get back to the point that you earlier made. Many of the customers who were seeking a loan for you were for the first time, their credit worthiness had not been assessed. And you have received close to 1.5 million applications. You have evaluated proposals worth 1 lakh crore rupees. And after evaluating that, you've decided to disperse about 10,000 crore worth of loans in the last eight and a half years. So my question is, what were those algos? What was the data that you used to assess the credit worthiness of an MSME who were seeking a working capital loan? And what are the key factors that can positively contribute to improving their credit worthiness?
Sure, Rima. I think Rima, normally when we say deep learning or algorithm-based or NLP-based models, it normally seems like it's like abracadabra, right? In the sense that it's like you feel that you have data and you churn the data and you build on data and you do thousand stuff and you get the answer. It's not actually. Rima, earliest models that we started building were all rule-based models where we basically would collect data from the consumer and try to put rules around it. Then as we started collecting more and more data around repayments from the customer, that which customer is doing good, which customer is doing bad. And after a certain level of strength of data, basically you start realizing that you can build the data around the customer, you can build algos and you apply algos, and then algos help you identify trend. Rima, trend in the consumer, trend in the borrower, his behavior, what he has been doing, what he has been not doing, and that kind of stuff. That's what we have done at our end as well, Rima. Today, we are going to launch version 9 of our model overall, which is one of the most effective models we have seen. We have had international investors come and see our model, evaluate us based on our models as well. We use the latest techniques of gradient boosting, random forest in our models as well, Rima. That's what we've done. I think India is now, because of Touchwood, because of the internet that's penetrated everywhere, right? Where we are going from data low, really data low, to data high per individual as well. And that is what is helping. I think for MSMEs, I think it's important, Rima, that the MSMEs today become part of formal structure, right? I see a lot of MSMEs still not part of formal structure. They don't use banking account data, or they don't use overall formal transactions, don't keep record of their transactions. If they actually want to get into financial inclusion, if they actually want to get a loan, they should get part of the formal structure, Rima, and become part of it. These are all the things that normally count. I think earlier times of having a house or financial statements or tax returns don't matter now.
Harsh, specifically about quarter one, you said that Q1 was profitable for you. You generated a PBT of 32 crores. Could you talk a bit about the quarter gone by?
Sure, Rima. So I think, Rima, we've been doing wonderfully for last three quarters. We made profits both at the NBFC level, that's our lending entity level, and at the holdco level as well. After I think we are one of the rare startups, or in the fintech space, maybe the only one who's actually earning money after spending on technology as well. So just to give an elaboration on that, Rima, we've all realized that we all invest in technology, but a lot of people say that technology doesn't make money. But I think we are one of the few who's proved that after using technology, you can still make a lot of money. I think last quarter, Rima, we almost disbursed closer to 900 crores overall to our customers. We made revenues of almost 250 crores, closer to 250 crores. And our profits in our NBFC were 32 crores. And at group level, we made 11 crores, Rima, after technology spends and everything.
What differentiates you from the rest? Because customization of products serving to MSMEs, SMEs, is something that a lot of other people also do. Customization of products is not native to you, your customers, or the financial industry. What is your unique factor?
I think, Rima, all of us, all the names that you suggested, all of us are trying to work on financial inclusion, kind of, right? We are all trying to ensure if we can directly, indirectly serve the underserved customer and design a product that's available for them and service them in the most effective manner. So all of us doing the same thing. I think what we have adopted, Rima, is kind of like few names, few things that I suggested, the zero trust technology, where the customer doesn't have to speak anybody across our organization for getting a loan. Similarly, Rima, what we have done is we are the only like fintech in the country who has an algo-driven underwriting, right? Overall, kind of. In the sense that we our algos actually decide the loan amount, interest rate, and tenor that goes out to the customer, and it's actually communicated directly to the customer. If he accepts the loan, he gets the loan. If he doesn't accept the loan, he doesn't get the loan. So those kind of industry first we have already done. Also, Rima, from our perspective, one of the differentiators for us has been that Rima, we also started with the idea that the money that we receive, right, is finally depositors' money that's lying with banks and they want to distribute it. We built all of these capabilities of ours, Shima, as tech and product and data capabilities, which we can then leverage others. And that's where a platform business comes into play, Rima. We've today launched four platforms. The first is a Together platform, which is co-lending platform, which can enable any institution in the country today, Rima, to lend to micro and small businesses quickly and solve for the financing needs of micro and small units. You don't need to set up a large institution, or you don't need to set up a large DSA or a formal sourcing network or underwriting network for it. The second platform is our Accelerate platform, where if you want our API suite for just distribution, we give you that. The third platform is Credit, where we give you underwriting algorithms if you want to evaluate them and be a part of your credit structure or credit op. And the fourth is if you want to deliver money pan India to agency to people pan India, and if you want our help in collections, we do that, which is Collect. So I think one of the differentiating factor for us is we've created all of this in mode structure, platform structure, Rima, and we've gone ahead and built that, and we are capable of leveraging those platform structures to others as well.
Interesting. So you've got a platform for distribution, co-lending, collections, as well as credit
Underwriting, yeah.
and underwriting. We'll come to each of these in greater details, particularly this co-lending, because that is close to what, 40-45% of your overall book now.
Yes,
But
yes.
before that, you briefly spoke about the zero-touch technology, which enables, a lot of convenience from a point of view of customers, speedier delivery as well. Could you talk a bit about zero-touch technology and what lies next in terms of improvisations?
Right, Nima. So basically, I think we all know that we are in an era of instant gratitude, right? I think we all have felt that even in delivery services, even in logistics services, right, if we had to, or even in banking services for any particular service, if you had to call up the call center, reach out to people, interact, engage with them, it's been an inconvenient experience for all of us. And I think that's where we realize that our consumer who works day in, day out, right, to run his business, if he had to go out, reach out to a branch or people, understand his requirements, there are dialect problems, right, language problems, there is information problems where he doesn't understand a lot of things on his own and everything. If you can make the processes so simple, right, or if you can make the journey of the customer to even get a loan so simple that he doesn't need to engage, interact, and he can do it on his own overall. That was the entire thesis behind designing the zero touch technology. And I think we might be one of the first in doing Rima, but I think this decade, a lot will also depend on who succeeds in this segment or how many of people succeed in this segment, depending on what kind of experience and engagement you give to the customer. For the longest time, Rima in financial services, focus has not been on experience and engagement with the customer. So I think that's where the experience and engagement with customer will count a lot, and you need to start basically focusing a lot on that as well. I think zero touch technology is Rima. That's what our focus, that if we can give a great experience to the consumer who comes to take a loan, and can we make it as simple as a delivery of food or ordering a cab?
Okay, yeah, increasingly we want our banks and fintechs as well to behave like the Amazon when we're ordering for, food as well as stuff that you require on a day-to-day basis. But yes, the focus has been on customer experience as well as engagement. Let's talk a little bit about this Together platform, the tech platform that allows banks and NBFCs to onboard and disperse unsecured business loans up to 10 lakh in real time. Tell us a little bit more about Together. What prompted you to switch your business model, pivot to co-lending, and share a few success stories?
Yeah, sure, Rima. I think it looks like a pivot from our end, but I think when we started out in 2014, right, I think we had seen these models, the tech platform models, already working in international geographies, Rima. So our thought clearly was, can we build something like that in India? But when we started out in 2014, Rima, I think the fintech, which looks as hot today as a sector, right, and everybody wants to build a company, where there was not. I think there were two needs in the earliest time, Nima. One was basically the platform was needed, right? Today, like the platform we have created. Secondly, there was also a need, Rima, for products or designing the products as well, which could actually suit and serve the underserved segments, solve for them and everything. So, Rima, I think from our journey, we realized that first we had to design the product, deliver it ourselves to the consumer, experience it, what he's doing, what he's not doing, and perfect the product. And then we went on to the path of platform and helping others use that platform. Today, a lot of companies start with platform, Rima, and then they move to the product part where they create the platform first and then the product comes in. So I think the platform business was already in the pipeline, already in the thoughts. I think pre-COVID, Rima, what was happening 18, 19, 19, 20, when we would go and meet people or larger institutions, they would think and tell us that, Harsh, maybe we will build this on our own, right? Because this is required for next decade. Post-COVID, Rima, I think at least wave two, we kind of started realizing, and then the larger institutions also started realizing that the touch and feel and meet and greet model that they were following, right, might not sustain for long. And the digital is here and now. It cannot be avoided, right? And I think if all the institutions had to go ahead and build it, right, it would require tons and tons of manpower, resources, everything, which was not possible. So that's where I think, Rima, we all realized that working together and collaboration is the best way forward, where we can be the front end for them, where we can help them in the capabilities of digital origination, algo-driven underwriting, and maybe tech-based collections as well. And they have their own capabilities in terms of cost of funds, customer accounts, savings accounts, CASA, and everything that we call. So that was there. I think this enabling has helped a lot of institutions in the country, Rima, in the sense, I'll give you a simple example, one of the large nationalized banks that we tied up with, right? They have agreed to almost deliver 750 crores to consumers or small and micro units through us, right? Just to give you a perspective, Rima, if they had to deliver this on their own, right? For 750 crores, they would have to get 15,000 customers, which we will give them. For giving loans to 15,000 customers, they would have to actually originate 50,000 customers. And then evaluate them, underwrite them, and collect those money, right, Rima? So I think those people basically, Rima, for 15,000 customers, how much bandwidth of their branches, how much bandwidth of their people, how much credit people, collections people would get involved. And finally, a lot of business that we do, Rima, is priority sector lending as well, right? So it solves a lot of purpose for these institutions where they give money to small and micro units and priority sector lending through us. And that, so this is the core purpose, that if we have built these capabilities and we've invested money in technology and product and everything, Rima, can we allow others to use it and solve finally for the financial inclusion in the country?
It does sound like a win-win situation for your partners, banks, as well as for you. But is it easy now to get partners on board, or do you still find some hesitation from their end?
Rima, I think again, it's a growing up question, right? I think all of us know when we partner with a business, right? Or even if in our personal lives, when we partner with someone, there are questions, right? Of how will it work? What's the performance of the business? How they have done before? Do they have enough data to show it to us that this business is good and everything? I think we, after delivering almost 10,000 crore, 4,000 plus cities to 200 plus thousand customers, we proved ourselves that this business works, this kind of customer works. And I think that's where it's not that much painful. We are one of the largest platforms in the country in Rima, in co-lending, and in MSME, we are the largest in the country as well, delivering money to people. I think our focus and staying on course, right, for the last 8 years, we picked up a tough segment of MSME and we've totally focused on it and done on it. So that continues for us, Rima, and we are continuing to build the business. So right now, it's not that much of a problem.
You said you picked up a tough sector, MSME, and you've steadfast focused on it for the last eight and a half years. Would you look to expand outside of MSMEs?
Yeah, Rima, I see. I think we've done wonderfully well in MSME. There are still a lot of gaps in other segments, consumer and other segments as well. We do have intentions of going in them, but not necessarily as of now. Sometime later, we do plan to do something different. As of now, I think the MSME space is large enough, Rima, doing a lot of stuff. There are other products that we can launch. We can partner with other fintechs as well and solve a lot of other things. So that's on the cards, Rima. We want to first reach size and scale in MSME, Rima. Obviously, we will start working on the other segments, understanding them and building them. But if you're asking me scaling up in any other segment, MSME is going to be our core focus right now.
You said you want to achieve size and scale in the MSME sector. Well, right now, you've disbursed about 10,000 crore worth. What is your target? Could you give us some goalposts that you have in mind?
I think it might sound like a overambitious number, but I think in India today, if you look at it, the needs might be somewhere in the range of $300 or $400 billion, right? In another 10 years, we might have a need of $1 trillion of MSME money required for running them right across the country when our GDP crosses almost $8-10 trillion and everything. Our thought is that by 2000, in another 10 years or closer to 2030, 32, if we can be a part of ecosystem and almost deliver $50 billion every year, Rima, we'll be happy. I know
50
that's a large
billion.
number. $50 billion.
I heard it right.
Yeah, you heard it right. It's $50 billion.
Okay, in the next 10 years, annually is
Next.
what your loan disbursement target is.
Yeah, I think that's where we will start making a mark in the ecosystem overall and solving for the ecosystem in next 10 years if the Indian economy keeps on growing the way we are all thinking, Rima. Yeah.
At that point of time, what would the demographic profile look like of loan disbursements, according to you?
At that point of time, Rima, I think education would have penetrated a lot better. Currently also, Rima, if you look at our customers, right, 23 to 45 in age is almost 90% of my customer. 80% of my customers are educated, right? And almost 60-65% of them maintain a very healthy bank balance. So they are running their businesses and know the businesses. Overall, a lot of them are almost all of them are online. They keep digital trails of their data. They are in formal infrastructure or formal overall. I feel a lot of this will go up. I think we've all had learnings from demonetization, GST, but I think that's all been done for good. I think the regulator is also pushing a lot more Rima for financial inclusion and for data trails and everything. I think this all will work. I think we have one of the best public infrastructures in the world in financial services sector, right? Whether it's in terms of UPI, whether it's in terms of India Stack, whether in terms of account aggregator that's now come up Rima. So a lot of wonderful things happening. I think all of these things will collaborate, work together, and solve for the ecosystem.
Harsh, I know you've been very judicious in your loan dispersal so far. You said that you've evaluated proposals worth 1 lakh crore and only disbursed 10,000 crore. I think that's a stat which is going to stick with me. But you have aspirations to become big, achieve scale, $50 billion of loan dispersals annually in the next 10 years. You will have to maintain a very stringent quality check to make sure that you continue to remain, profitable and your book remains clean without NPAs. What do you have in mind to make sure that the book remains high quality?
I think that's a very prudent question, Rima. Lending is not a race to a particular number, Rima. That's what we've realized, right? I think I'll give a simple example. Like you can today lend 5,000 crore, 10,000 crore. But even if the last 10% or 500 or 1,000 crore doesn't come back to you properly, your earnings are ruined, right? So till almost like if in a 36 month loan, Rima, the first 30 months you are just collecting your principal back, and last 6 months is where your interest and profits and everything come from. So it's a business worth with patience. It's a business worth learning, wisdom, and everything. And I think the beautiful part about this business, Rima, is that it's been done since ages, and the wisdom around it is much, right? And everybody uses it as a part of our daily journey. I doubt there are few people, other than the what we've not been included in financial segment, but there'll be very few people who don't use debit cards or credit cards or business loans and everything, right? We need to do financial inclusion. So for us to maintain book is we need to keep our heads to the ground, need to understand our consumer overall properly. Need to understand their data properly, need to understand the trends in the industry properly, and understand the growth and everything properly, Rima, and continue to doing that. For ages, Rima, this business has been done, and there's nothing exotic, right? You don't need to build any rocket science in and around it. Just understand consumer, serve him the right product, don't overlever him, and maintain healthy data in and around him across the journey of the product, and that's what is required. And we will continue to do the same. We don't feel we will have to invent or reinvent anything for reaching our 10-year goals, Rima.
Do you anticipate any big challenges?
This is a tough question, Rima. Last 4 5 years, we've seen demonetization, GST, we've seen COVID. So we've seen a lot. If you ask me from my heart, do I want challenges? No. But since this is a cyclical business, obviously there are no choices, and we will have to prepare ourselves for them.
You're an entrepreneur, you learn, you grow, and you reinvent yourself all the time to keep yourself high up. Thank you very much, Harsh. It's been a fascinating conversation to listen about your story so far and what lies ahead. Wish you all the very best.
Money Control presents The Lending Card Story, from empowering MSMEs to building a $5 trillion US dollar economy.